I'm Mike McCurdy at Sound Ideas, a graduate of Bloomington High School and a current Illinois State University sophomore, found himself without a home or financial support earlier this year. As he wants to be called, applied for and received a scholarship from Illinois State University's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Student Support Fund. He was financially cut off by his mother and stepfather and kicked out of his home as the result of a situation that included coming out, but was much more complicated.
In my case, I always knew there was something off. I didn't fit in the actual mold of masculinity, and I really liked to, paint my nails, look at hot guys on the TV, and I realized there was something. So I told my parents when I was 12 that I just like guys instead of girls.
Did your parents already know at some level, do you think?
I think they knew, but they were scared about it. Obviously, they don't want to acknowledge something like that.
And then what happened when you were 17?
Well, when I was 17, I was already living in the U.S., so I told my parents I was a big boy and I wanted to go back to Mexico for spring break. I saved for my ticket and I traveled alone. It was going to be a very exciting time. I was going back from a friend's house one night, and it was late. I saw three guys in the corner. They were drinking and they were making fun of me. So I had to take the other way, but they got me. They started messing with me, and when I tried to leave, they got violent. So that night, I was sexually assaulted. After that, the next morning, I went to the police. But guys don't get raped, let alone someone like me.
And is the culture in Mexico such that that's more difficult to pursue there than it is in the United States?
Oh, yeah. The cops laughed at me. They said that that doesn't happen. And if it did, it was because I asked for it, being the way I am.
So what was your parents' reaction when you told them what happened? And did it go through any sort of legal proceedings?
It did. Well, I told my parents right when I came back. And my dad said that that was... He said it was bullshit. He says that guys, again, don't get raped. And if I'm making this up, it's because I want to hurt the family's reputation. My mom didn't do anything. So it was up to me to find something to pursue this. And I did. It took me about 7 months, but I got a judge to listen to my case in Mexico. And we had a trial. But they were found innocent in all charges.
What did you think might happen when you decided to share this story with your family? Did you think they would be supportive, or did you not really know what would happen?
You know, 17 sounds like you're old enough for stuff. I was still a kid. I just wanted my parents to be nice, to hold me and say everything was going to be okay. I wanted to feel like I had someone to rely on, and it didn't feel that way. You know, when I went to trial, none of them showed up.
So help me with the timeline. The incident in Mexico happened when you were 17. The trial happened when you were 18 and after you'd already enrolled at Illinois State University.
The rape happened when I was 17. I entered the university when I was 18. And by that time, freshman year, I was already going on with a trial on my own. When the results came out and the judge said, yeah, they're not guilty, that's when my parents got extremely angry at me. They said that I did all that just to destroy our reputation, our image, and that I was just toxic for the family.
So the trial happened after you'd already enrolled at Illinois State University, and then you lost your financial support while you were here because the family cut you off. Mm-hmm. What happened then, and how did you hear about the grant that ended up allowing you to stay in Normal, Illinois, and at Illinois State?
Well, it all happened so fast. One night, my dad said, here's a box, put everything you can in it and get out of my house. And I did. So then I called my two best friends who also go to ISU, and they said that I could crash at their place for a while. And the next morning, I decided to go ahead and do stuff, try to find something. And I found Jill Benson, I don't remember her title. She's something with the Dean of Students. I'm sorry.
The Associate Dean of Students.
Okay. She was really nice. I met her before. And I had to talk to her because I had no idea how to pay off my remain for the semester, and I had absolutely no money for anything. So I was thinking about dropping out of school, but I wanted to leave without a debt. And then she told me about the fund and how to apply for it.
What did you need right away as your homelessness became apparent?
Well, I needed to find a way to work. That was my main concern. I had to pay off my lawyers for the trial. I had to pay a lot of medical bills because the attack was really violent and I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. I had to pay for my food. I don't know. So
everything.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a good circle of friends. Tell me about them and how they helped.
Well, my two friends, Mark and Ben, I met them after the rape in high school. We actually went to Bloomington High School together. And they were always really nice to me, really supportive. And they were a few of the people who believed in me. So when I told them that I didn't have a place to stay, they say, just come here. And up to this day, they're my two best friends.
What did you hear? You sat in on the interview when we talked to Dr. Zosky and David Bentland. What did you hear from them, things that they're working on or things that that they've discovered through the study that would have helped in your situation?
Well, definitely having a transitioning housing, you know, a place that has services for people that doesn't have anything. Let's say I had my stuff, like my clothes and some school stuff that I took from my house, but I had no money for food or medical treatment or anything. And if there's a house that I can just stay on and make sure there's a breakfast at least every day, it would have been awesome.
And what about their discussion about efforts to try to get family members to reconcile or to reunify? Is that in your future, do you think?
I think it can be an option for a lot of people. I don't think it is for me. My parents made it very clear. They actually would have moved out of the state. I don't know where they are. They didn't tell me. They send the rest of my stuff via mail to the place that I'm at right now.
Is there anything about being of Mexican descent that factored into this? Is it something about the culture, their culture, the culture there?
Yeah, it's in the Mexican culture, family is everything. And you have to respect your dad and your mom no matter what. And they thought that all the things that I did were ways of attacking them. And that I lost my right to be with them at all. So I don't know if it happens with American families at
all.
I
think it does.
But at least in my situation, that's how it went through.
Well, I'm sorry for your situation, but it sounds like you've landed on your feet. And I really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it took me a lot. And I'm still working on some stuff. But at least I'm better than how I was a year ago.
And how's school going?
Pretty good. Straight A.
Congratulations. And tell me, you're a double major?
Triple. I'm working on a triple major, actually. Spanish education, French education, and working international business in it.
An Illinois State University sophomore who only wants to be identified as he expects to complete his triple major and graduate in a four-year time span. Illinois State University's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Student Support Fund is funded by a handful of interested alumni and the ISU Pride Charity Drag Show. Learn more about the grant that helped keep Ray enrolled at Illinois State by going to lgbtq.illinoisstate.edu/scholarships. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.